Patrick L. Riley, welcome home and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am so excited to be here with you, Ray, and to be on Upfront. Yeah. Because what you must know, it's been many years since I've been here at WCLK, but I do keep up with your work.
Oh,
and I'm proud to
thank you.
Be here in your face because yeah. I'm reading your great entertainment yeah. and arts work
yeah.
all the time.
Oh, thank you very much. So for our listeners, this has been, we've been trying to get together for at least, I'd say, probably within the last year.
Yes.
You coming in and out of the city. Then we talking about some of the clients that you've actually brought
Absolutely,
to the station
yes.
And that I've had on the show.
Miko Branch.
Yeah,
Miko,
yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful client I had for 5 years. We just wrapped our love affair
right.
in July. Miss Jessie's, the founder and CEO of Miss Jessie's. And you were so gracious to have her on.
Yeah.
Amazing interview. You know, as a brand ambassador, my job is to attract good press her way.
Yeah.
She was so happy that day. So
oh, wow.
I look to be as happy
yeah.
when we wrap.
But you're here for another reason. We're going to be talking about your amazing new book, That's What Friends Are For, on the women who inspire me. But let's talk about your start here, because bringing you into the studio was kind of like a family reunion. You actually got your start right here on the campus of Morehouse College, as well as taking classes here at Clark College, and you worked right here at WCLK. So let's talk about that.
Literally, I started Morehouse in 1988 with the vision that I'd follow in the footsteps of Bill Nunn and Spike Lee and all the great big brothers from the AUC, Monty Ross, Kenny Leon. I wanted to be in arts and entertainment. And
yeah.
so was given the opportunity to cross register so that I could be a mass communications major, which meant we utilized all of Clark's resources
yeah, yeah.
to get this degree that I have and got in 92. But one of the big things and ways in which I was trained was right here at WCLK. We had a beautiful show, not too unlike Upfront. It was called Week's End Magazine Show. Google it.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a Google then. But all that to say, it was a wonderful weekend show.
Yeah.
Tony Phillips, great names in radio. Cindy Brooks, Baumgartner now. Daris Henson, Bobby Towns. They were all great peers with whom I worked on Week's End Magazine Show. And I did entertainment, much like you,
yeah.
Interviews, celebrity, but also restaurant reviews.
Yeah.
And I remember we would go, I would do the peasant restaurants, all of the restaurants like, Peasant Pheasant
yeah.
is one of them,
yeah.
but they have a number of other restaurants
oh,
that
yeah,
they
yeah,
owned.
Yeah,
and I'd
yeah.
just be all up and through Buckhead
yeah.
getting these great restaurants because it would be a free meal for a hungry yeah. college student. And then I can inform our listeners how to get some good dining. But the people, as much as they loved it, would say, could you go to a Busy Bee?
Yeah.
Could you go to Pascal's? So that I had a soul food month
yeah.
where, yet again, I got the best of both worlds because
wow.
I enjoyed that food as well.
Oh, my gosh. And Mix was one of my favorite restaurants
you
when I moved
Mix?
Here. Yeah, it's
the chili
those are
fries,
gone now.
The nachos, yeah. all they had, it was the
yeah,
best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so from there, you launched this amazing career in television and media. You worked, oh, my God, with Oprah Winfrey on the Oprah Winfrey Show for
13 plus years and another 6 years of doing things with the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah.
I actually started as a reporter trainee at WSB TV working under Monica Pearson,
right.
but it was Kaufman at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was a great mentor who kind of got my start going as a reporter trainee. And then I helped launch as one of the first two producers, but I also did on camera and entertainment Good Day Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
When
wow.
it was a CBS affiliate. It's now Fox 5,
okay.
I know, but
yeah.
it was a CBS affiliate when Good Day Atlanta launched. WAGA was a CBS affiliate. Then there was a merger.
Okay.
And it became a Fox affiliate. But Good Day Atlanta is mine. So during the era of TLC and Babyface and L.A. Reid
oh
launching.
Gosh. Yeah. LaFace Records.
LaFace Records. So Def with Jermaine Dupri, Dallas Austin. I worked with all of those folks, giving them their first media.
Wow.
When Lisa Left Eye Lopez burned down the house
yeah.
of her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Andre Rison.
Andre Rison. Yeah.
We were the only kind of group to kind of get the who was the T, who was the L, who was the C. You know, they weren't household this.
Yeah.
We got it right locally.
Wow. Yeah.
But also, I was able to do the first interview after that scandal, right before the red light special project was coming out. So it was one of those things where, and it was a great moment because there we are doing the interview at LaFace Records and she was late again, but it, but we just, you know, we incorporated that into the piece, you know, Lisa Left Eye, God rest her soul.
So a lot of Atlanta memories.
And then I went to New York to work for Geraldo for a couple of years as a producer for Rivera Live. And that would then transition me into wanting to do my own thing and kind of have the work I'm putting out reflect my interest, entertainment, pop culture, the divas. About a year later in 98, The Oprah Show came a-calling. And they came calling once, twice, but three times. The third time was the charm. That was when I said yes to being a senior field producer for The Oprah Show. I was able to live in New York, but I had to jump how high whenever they called. So the dream assignment after dream assignment I've had the chance to do for The Oprah Show, from the Wildest Dreams days to the Remembering Your Spirit days, interviewing everybody, you know, all the greats, that would then lead up to me being assigned to be the sole interviewer, field producer for the Legends Ball, the Oprah, the iconic, legendary Legends Ball that was in Santa Barbara that she hosted in 2005. Do you remember that?
I remember that like yesterday. I still play the, or I'll replay the Sunday brunch. Mic toss.
Yes.
I mean, Patti LaBelle gets me every time.
Every time. And if I could tell you to be there, you know, my knees were buckling. I just, the whole weekend, though I was there to do work, you must know this. When we're up against our people that we've admired, you are the professional that you are. I am a professional. But internally, I was just burning up.
You have to, when I first met Janet Jackson, it was very media, but I left the room. Actually, I left the building, went out to the parking lot, screamed to the top of my lungs. And Ryan Cameron was there, and he was like, "I get it." He was like, "I totally get it." And then I went right back upstairs and did what I needed to do, because I couldn't believe that I had just met her.
You know my number one diva to be Diana Ross.
Mine too.
Yours as well.
Mine too,
You must know there were rules at Legends.
Yeah.
We were, if you got them on day one, don't bother them on day two. Day one being the luncheon that was on Oprah's property. Day two was then the actual ball, the gala, and then day three was the
Sunday brunch.
The vision was whoever you get, just get a little sound of them on the first day. Whoever you have left, get, and then whoever you have left. Well, I spoke to Ms. Ross all 3 days. I didn't care what the rules were. And I just, and she received me and I received her, and it was a love affair. An engagement I never thought I would have, but it has almost continued until this day. So much so I've even been able to gift her, you know, my book project.
And so this is kind of, so having that type of career gave fuel to That's What Friends Are For, correct?
It was the inspiration. Dorpy Books, a new publisher out of DC, took a chance on me because they are sort of growing mid-career journalists who have books in them. And they had followed me and my career and the things that I had done and thought, you could do a good celebration of Black women. You know, I have also have a blog presence. My blog, A Day in the Life of Riley, Pop Culture and Possibilities, often chronicles the divas. And so they said, this material is all there. Why don't you work with us and do a book? And so I got with the amazing Clarence Haynes, who's an awesome book editor from the book world, who had time to edit my chapters. And what was great about it is that I don't know that I would have done the book had they not asked, but once they asked me to do it, it made absolute sense. And it has truly been a vibration that's helping me 25 years into my career dream bigger. You know, I think that's sort of the theme these days. I'm thinking it better and bigger. And so to be able to unpack these women in a volume based on my experiences, but also my analysis as a pop culture expert, was a dream. And it has been a dream. So to even to be on the road as I am promoting, I've been on the road for about a year promoting, because this is the kind of a gift that keeps on giving. It's not, I'm not playing this like on a publisher's timeline. I'm going to keep on talking to people until they, because these are all evergreen memories that sometimes get lost in the sauce. When we think about social media and how quickly the trolls will reduce a diva to nothingness.
Or just this idea of what's relevant and what's not. I remember a situation where I was talking to a friend, and I'm not going to reveal the actress, but I mentioned an actress's name, and she was like, oh, she's not relevant.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you can't, you know. And a week later, she had booked a huge gig.
Yes.
And was all over the place. And that's when I learned that you never can discount a person. Even if you don't see them, that does not mean that they're not relevant. They could be behind the scenes. Yes. They could be working on projects that you don't know. And people like Beyonce will just drop a project with no fanfare.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my gosh, well, where did this come from?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't subscribe to that mindset.
And I don't and either. And I wanted to sort of take ownership of it for me, because I do think that even as we may try to discount relevance in these women, sometimes people will try to discount relevance in those of us who have been on the ride.
Yeah.
And I was here, you know, no different than when Beyonce says I was here. I was here too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought to put it in a book, kind of, you know, now we're in the Library of Congress. Now we're available where all books are sold. People can stumble into this and be inspired. Not just diva lovers, but kids who want to figure out how to have their career be their dream, or their dream be their career. All of those kind of nuggets are in there.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the cover. You've got Janet Jackson, Wendy Williams, Halle Berry, Oprah Winfrey, Dionne Warwick, Aretha Franklin, Taraji P. Henson, Beyonce, and of course, our favorite, Diana.
Miss Diana Ross. This picture, I should say, is from when I interviewed her after Legends, more recently at the opening night of Motown the Musical.
Motown Musical. I can see the emblem in the back.
Yes. Yeah. And that was a great night because it was her first time seeing this piece with this fictional Diana Ross on the stage.
Yeah.
And so beforehand, she didn't, she and Berry Gordy were approaching me, and she's saying, Berry Gordy, watch out for him. He's got a memory of steel. So I'm like, Miss Ross knows. I know. Miss Ross knows, I know.
Yeah,
so I do my interview with Berry, and then I say, Miss Ross, have you seen any piece of this? And she says, I haven't seen any of it. She says, but I have to talk to you after because I want to let you know what I think. And I'm like, Miss Ross wants to talk to me afterwards. And when they came to the after party at Roseland Ballroom, they're walking in and some other press were trying to get her attention. She says, Miss Ross is coming to me, you know. So I've just, through the work with Oprah, but even beyond in terms of what has been my commitment to covering our women and these women who really validated me at a time as a child when I wasn't always so clear about where my validation was coming from. It doesn't always come from your family when you're a curious kid with, you know, entertainment dreams. And so very often it was through the vinyl. You know, when Shirley Ralph on that Dreamgirls soundtrack told me what her mama said, that she'd be special, it rang a bell. And it's music and lyrics and experiences like that that I unpack in the book because it's personal, but it's also universal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm bringing it up, but I think everybody can relate on some level to some of these anecdotes.
Absolutely. Let's talk diva for diva.
Yes.
I'm going to call out a name and in one word, describe them.
Oh, that's hard, but let's go.
All right. Aretha.
Queen.
Natalie.
Love. Our love, you know, if I can say two words.
Yeah. Dionne.
Elegant. Elegant.
Vanessa, for Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams.
Former Miss America.
Former Miss America, beautiful lady. Songstress. You like that?
Yeah. Janet.
Janet. Dance.
Okay.
There's more.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But that comes to the fore.
Yeah. And Diana.
Supreme.
Yeah.
And she, to me, continues to be supreme. I just saw her, a couple of times. She's still on the road, 75, doing her thing.
They just announced she's going to be doing Glastonbury.
Yes, which I've been waiting for years. So now I got to figure out how to get to Glastonbury.
Yeah, me too.
Right, we got to figure that out. Like, road trip, Black Boy Joy trip.
Yeah.
But I saw her at Red Rocks in Denver, which was an amazing show, a beautiful backdrop.
I saw a video of that.
But yeah. The residency at Vegas has been nothing short of spectacular. So I was taken there on my birthday, and at the end of the show, she's getting ready to exit, and I had the book, I had it signed. I didn't know if I'd be able to get it to her or not. But she comes over, you know, with recognition.
Yeah.
She thinks now I'm going to hand her something to sign.
Yeah.
So she's ready. And then she looks in it and she sees that I have signed
it.
And she says, "For me." And, you know, so Gerald Albright, the saxophonist,
yeah,
I'm sure WCLK knows
we've had
its
him
way
here.
Around.
Yeah,
Gerald
yeah.
Albright. He was in the audience and he says to me after the show, he says, "You made her night." He was like, "I don't know what you gave her." So I would have to give Gerald a book too, because I'm like, well, this is what it was.
Yeah.
And it was a tribute to her.
Wow.
So I'm happy that we got that moment. I haven't had that kind of one-on-one moment. Rhonda and I got a chance to hang out at Motown 60 in Detroit.
Okay.
Motown Museum has been an amazing supporter for the book.
Okay.
When they get, as they're expanding, they're going to be carrying That's What Friends Are For.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The president, Robin Terry, has a copy now and was just telling everybody about it while I was there on promotion for that big weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm, Diana is, it's endless love.
Yeah,
for me and Diana.
Absolutely. Let's talk about longevity. I mean, you've been doing this for a very long time. Media is constantly changing. I mean, I've been blogging, or I shouldn't say blogging, an entertainment writer for 7 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing the radio show for about 4 seasons now. But so much has changed. I mean, most people now are listening to podcasts or they want to see video.
Yeah.
Not many folks are reading long stories anymore,
yes,
reading magazines. How do, or how have you been able to keep your career going in the midst of all that's changing, not just in pop culture, but also in media and how we get our news?
Well, for me, I think it really goes back to when I started with Oprah. One of the things that I did, and which was why it took 3 times for me to connect to the Oprah show as a senior field producer, is I didn't want to be full time. I don't know that I had an instinct that we would all have to be our independent brands as we all have to be today.
Right, right.
But there was a part of me that felt like, as great as it would be to work for something as great as the Oprah show, I didn't want to lose me in it. That was a big plus, because when the show wrapped, a lot of my peers were trying to figure out how to navigate their careers. And I had been, alongside my Oprah work, juggling on-camera work, juggling other clients,
mm-hmm,
never at the a loss of my Oprah work, but just always kind of doing more. And now that Oprah is gone, that's kind of like the safety net that I don't have in terms of day-to-day work. But since that time, I've attracted other greats. You know, Wendy Williams is another client that I now have when they need someone to do Oprah-level work with Wendy in the field.
Right.
They call me.
Okay.
And those are projects that, I can blend into my mix, because it's, you know, a month here, 2 weeks there, 3 weeks there. Keeps my name kind of on the tongues of the people on the high profile tier, while I can, because the playing field has been leveled, figure out some of this new technology. You know, I'm now hosting a show called The Happy Hour Talk Show, which is, you know, virtually a podcast. We shoot five professional gay guys shoot at Melba's Soul Food Restaurant in Harlem, discussing the things that they do talk about on The View and The Real and The Talk. But we're talking about it on ourselves, betting on ourselves, investing in ourselves, finding our own sponsors to get this out in the level playing field of social media.
Yeah.
I'm having the chance to innovate in with this book, for example. You know, any of us can write a book, and I think there's a book in all of us. But this was my book, and I did take those steps once Dorby Books came to me to not only see this as a book, but to see it as a reference that people can use down the line. So now what's happening, I'm continuing to attract great bookings. I'm doing wonderful motivational speeches. Do you know North Carolina Central University, HBCU in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, invited me to be the keynote speaker for its African-American Literary Symposium themed Black Masculinity in the Eras of Obama and Trump.
Hmm.
I'm floored. You know, they're offering me this nice check. They wanted me to do a master class on the art of the interview, and I needed to make sure they knew I was gay before I jumped into this, because what an opportunity. And I'm continuing to attract the Charlotte LGBT Chamber of Commerce did its first joint program with the Black Chamber of Commerce, the Latin Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Asian Chamber of Commerce, for me to then be a keynote on a talk around intersectionality, just sort of what kind of diversity and inclusion looks like on me. They saw it and wanted me to talk about it. So I've been blessed to kind of have the ability to do new things that may not be as lucrative alongside still being able to attract that work that can pay the mortgage, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And it just continues to work that way. Now I'm at a point now where certain calls are coming in from great new talk show hosts that we watch and love, some of whom are in the book. I won't say names.
Okay.
But I'm able to say no now because I'm booked.
Yeah.
I'm not available. I'm on
busy.
The road. I'm
on
tour.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I never thought those days would come. I just thought I would continue to be a worker bee hustling for the next best gig. But now I'm kind of running my brand and I'm running it in a way where it's actually working.
Yeah.
So it's innovation, being innovative. We're, you know, working with the guys that are doing Happy Hour Talk Show, that's Kendra Bowman and Anthony Wayne are the executive producers of, of Lovely Off-Broadway Fair,
Mighty
Sylvester.
Yeah.
Evening with Phyllis Hyman. They do wonderful New York-based shows that also travel. And they wanted to do something with TV. So here I am, been in the business a long time. You know, should I be turning my nose up to them and saying, I've done it, been there, done that? Or no, do I keep my ears and my heart open to the young people, thinking how maybe Diana did with Niall and Bernard on her I'm Coming Out Upside Down album?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just working with young folks as inspired by the way that these women did it has been also a good template for me.
Yeah. Well, Patrick L. Riley, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Ray Cornelius, thank you for having me.
How can our listeners stay in contact with you on social media?
Well, you know, we'll start with the gram, at patrick.riley, R-I-L-E-Y. If you go there, you'll be able to kind of connect to everything that I'm doing. I have a really robust social media presence. I let you know about everything above the line. I'm not going to share all my meals and all those things.
All that stuff,
but any diva I pop into, you'll see that. Any programming that's coming up, when is this airing? You'll tell me because I'm going to let everybody know to tune in to Upfront with Ray Cornelius, WCLK 91.9. So follow me that way.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray.